You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez,
and I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Become a super ranter for the 2024 Cubs baseball season at patreon.com/sunranto and be a part of all of the celebrations as we celebrate our 1,000th episode. patreon.com/sunranto for all the reasons.
Cubby blue blood flowing through our veins. Sitting in the bleachers in the rain. We've shed a million tears and drank as many old style beers out at the game. Let's go, Cubby Sunranto. Sunranto. Sunranto and the lovable loser. Sunranto. Sunranto. Sunranto and the lovable losers. Sunranto.
Welcome to the Sunranto Show, brought to you by the Bleacher Bunch Productions on the Fans First Network and our 107 Patreon supporters, our Super Duper Ranters, Blake Beard's Tickets, Rogue Wave Creative, and of course the Cubs PS Plus Podcast Cast, hashtag Chance in the chat. And you could win a Frank Chance postcard sent to you by me with a message of love and doom. Do it now. It looks like this. Later on, Crawley's going to be by, and he's going to talk all about Cubs Con. But first, what's everybody drinking?
Well, Danny, it is very, very cold here in Iowa City. We have like 14 inches of snow on the ground. And when you have that, then you need a little, some of us need a little compensation from Lions Bridge Brewery. So, yeah, I'm drinking a compensation. It's an English mild ale, and it is wonderful. It's like a dark, malty beer, and it's just, it's kind of one of those cozy winter beers. I really like it.
How nice. I have kind of a special one today. I have from Kizakura Brewery in Kyoto, in honor of our new rotation piece, Shota Imanaga. We've got a matcha IPA. It's apparently the first craft IPA from Kizakura Brewery. I'm pretty excited about it. I've never had a matcha IPA before. And I love this. Look, instead of me having to go and get like a bottle opener, they have these little pull tabs on it.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Well, pull that tab. Oops. That had a nice sound to it and everything.
Yeah.
So now, I'm going to go ahead and put that in my Wrigley Field cup.
IFG, you would not remember this. Danny, you would.
Look how green it is. Will.
Oh, my
Back
God.
In the late, ooh, it's green.
That's like
late 70s. Those cans that had the pull tab like that.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah,
like
old tab.
You rip it right off.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many times did you cut your finger on one of those things? That's how they got rid of them.
Beautiful. Oh, I'm glad I put it in the foul ball bear cup.
It's from Japan, but that's a straight up St. Paddy's Day beer.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, it smells gorgeous.
Well, this St. Patrick's Day, we will have a Japanese pitcher. He won't be at Wrigley yet, but he'll be playing at spring training in Mesa, Arizona at the Sloan Park. And his name is Shota Imanaga. And I'm not shocked. I'm excited. And I don't know. I want IFG to weigh in here first because I know you know a lot more about him, even though I have written a book about the history of Japan.
Yeah. Subject expert.
Yeah, I'm a. But talk to me about your feeling of Shota Imanaga and how he fits in as a Cub.
Yeah, I'll be the first one to say, you know, there are so many people who know more than I do. But I am very, very excited for this. Number one, just because it's like just for the sheer purpose of it, I like the fact when people who are professional baseball players in other places come to MLB and find success. That makes me happy in my heart. So I'm very glad that somebody is going to have the chance to do that in a Cubs uniform. That being said, Shota is a very accomplished pitcher. He has had a kind of a really fun career, and he has more than earned the chance to come here and show how amazing he is here in the States. And again, I'm really glad he's doing it here with us.
We saw him as the starting pitcher for the WBC in the game that they beat the USA with. And he played, and that's the game that they won 3-2. That's the game that had Mike Trout versus Ohtani, that matchup.
So fun.
But he pitched a no-hitter.
He pitched a no-hitter against the Nippenham Fighters. That's Ohtani's former team. He pitched that last year. That was his first no-hitter. He's had a couple of complete game shutouts. He's pitched really well in the Japan Series, which is the NPB version of like the World Series. There was a great little thing. His first full season as a starting pitcher for the Yokohama Bay Stars, he pitched the game that got them into the Climax Series. I love that, the Climax Series. So that's like the playoff series before the Japan Series. So he pitched the game that got the Yokohama Bay Stars into the Climax Series, which was the first time the Bay Stars had ever been in the Climax Series since it had begun. And then he pitched the game against the... that game was against the Hiroshima Carp, which was Seiya's team at the time. So the Carp were also in the Climax Series, so they had to face each other again. And Seiya's team, the Carp, knocked the Bay Stars out of the Climax Series. So they did not progress to the Japan Series that year. Next year comes around, and they get into the Climax Series again. And the Bay Stars knocked the Carp out of the series and went on to the Japan Series. It was kind of like a back and forth thing for a while. It was kind of fun.
And he's got a lot of experience too. So, I mean, and that bodes well. If he's pitched in a lot of big games, like you said, you know, that bodes well. And you think of somebody, and I know this isn't the same at all, but I think of John Lester, and it's not close to the same, but I think of somebody that has had some playoff experience, is a lefty, pitching a bunch of big games, had a lot of success where he was before. I mean, he's got a 2.96 ERA lifetime, sub-3 ERA lifetime. Last year it was 2.66 over, what is that, like two different seasons, right?
So this is kind of complicated. That all levels, that 2.96 there, that's including minor league games in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the way that...
2.80.
So that 3.18 is all of his major league NPB experience right there.
but he kicked total ass the year before that. And I mean, the last few years, if you add it all up, I mean, really, he only had one stinker of a year, and it was freaking 6 years ago. So when he had a 584 for the or 468 for the year.
I see a friend of mine here in the chat, and Yen Han says, look at the Canberra row in 2018-2019. Easily one of the best pitchers the ABL has ever seen. That is extremely true. He set a ton of pitching records for the Australian Baseball League in that 2018-2019 season. Like, I think his what did he have up here? I think he set the record for whip, for strikeouts, for all kinds of things.
0.429 whip that year. His strikeout to walk ratio was 57.
Yeah, so he broke the league records for whip, for hits in 9 innings, for walks over 9 innings. With a win, he had the best win loss percentage with 4 wins in 6 starts, no credited losses, and all kinds of crazy stuff there for the Australian League. And the person that he beat for that whip record was Ryan Searle, the former Cub. So let's look at Yen Han in the chat with the clutch information. I love that. One other tiny little piece of information about that Japan series that he pitched in. He pitched 2 games in that series. And the first one, 10 strikeouts against the SoftBank Hawks. The second game, 11 strikeouts against the SoftBank Hawks. The only other pitcher to pitch double-digit strikeouts in consecutive Japan Series games was Yu Darvish in 2007.
Yeah, so I would recommend anybody go out and check out the recap podcast that just came out. They talked to Dan Evans, who apparently knows a lot about Shota. And I don't know, I got pretty excited listening to that. A few of the things that he was talking about there was he pitches over 100 pitches a lot. He gets into the seventh inning. He gets through the batting order 3 times. Now, that is Japan versus the U.S., but just knowing that he has that sort of life in his arm that long into a game, you know, to be able to go over 100 pitches. And then the other thing he said was, obviously, the way that their schedule goes, it's not like ours, and the guys can pitch on their, you know, big nights a lot more often. And he called him, they would have him pitch on Friday nights because that was like a big night for baseball, and he's a big game pitcher. I think, IFG, you said, you talked about a number of the games that he pitched in the Japan series. Danny, you talked about he got to, you know, pitch for Japan in the World Baseball Classic, you know, like is he the cream of the crop of all the pitchers? Maybe not, but he seems to have everything together in the type of person you want to take the mound in those big moments, like a Hendricks, right?
Well, they call him the philosopher, so now we got a professor and a philosopher. And you texted me, IFG, about how he wrote a pitching philosophy Bible.
Yeah, so he's known as the throwing philosopher because of his interview style. So, like, after you win at home, right, just like I've mentioned it in Taiwanese baseball a lot, they do it in Japanese baseball as well. If you win at home, they pick a game MVP and they have them come up and they stand on a podium and they give them a little stuffed mascot toy and a bouquet of flowers. And then they have to, you know, answer a bunch of questions, and it's a lot of fun. And so Shota became known as the throwing philosopher for his answers to these questions, just his particular speaking style. I don't know enough Japanese to get the vibe, but that's where his thing came from. And just recently, this past October, he did publish a book called Shota Imanaga's Pitching Bible. If you want to, you can go on the Japan Amazon page and buy it. It's like $15.
And make sure you buy my book, the Danny Rocket Explains Japanese History. It's a bestseller. it's a joke. So how does he slot in? I mean, do you put him in? He sounds like more like a number one than even Justin Steele. And now you're going lefty. We got a lot of lefties now.
People are talking about him having like number three, almost number two stuff. That's what I'm hearing on the Cubs. I mean, I think that's a number two, right? Because we don't have a full-on ace guy. But a number two, do you really want him throwing the next day right after Steele? Because Steele's our number one, right? Are we all agreed on that?
I mean, injuries and
I'm
a lot can happen.
What we have right now.
Who's going to start opening day? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it is. It's probably not Imanaga, but maybe you get to give it to the veteran Hendo or something just because who cares?
I'm just saying what we have right now. Do we agree that Steele is probably our best pitcher?
I think I can agree with that. And again, I don't consider myself an expert in like evaluating pitching talent or anything like that. I do think that some of the claims about Shota being like a particular danger for, you know, home runs out of the park and things like that are slightly overblown. If you're familiar with Yokohama Stadium at all, the corners are like 300 feet.
It's 308 down the lines and 385 to center. So it's tiny, but he only gave up like four home runs in a season. And he had like a 196 ERA at home. Like,
you're
doing that in the Little League park.
I mean, he's a little bit of a pitch to contact guy. So you're going to have some like scary fly balls, but I don't, and especially with like the way that Wrigley is now, since the video boards are in, like I'm not as afraid of a scary fly ball as I might've been 15 years ago.
Totally. And let me put up his numbers though. Again, it's not like he doesn't strike people out. So I don't want to give people the totally wrong idea. He, in his career, he averages 9.4 strikeouts per nine and the walk 2.4 walks.
Yeah, he's actually the eighth fastest pitcher, you know, career-wise in all of NPB history to reach 1,000 career strikeouts.
Yeah, he's over 1,000.
He did this past season. He struck out Bright Kenta of the Chinichi Dragons back in September for his 1,000th career strikeout.
And so to be loaded up on lefties is kind of interesting. And I saw this
because
on Twitter.
Last year we had zero lefties, right?
Well, out of the pen.
No lefties.
Well, we had Steele and we had Smiley, so but out of the pen we had
no lefties. But not at the start of the season, right?
No, we had Steele and Smiley, but we just didn't have any pen lefties out of the pen.
Well, the bullpen,
I don't know if we still do. But John Stocco said, I like how Jed Hoyer could be thinking bigger picture. If you're competing against the Dodgers, you need lefties. Ohtani, Freeman, Muncy, Outman, Jay Hay, I'm not really scared of that so much, but and Lux, the Cubs have four lefties that could start on any given night, and that's the truth. But also, if you think about some of the great power hitters in the game, Anthony Rizzo, you see him going down on one knee and the lefty trying to pop it out. Like, there's something about a lefty power hitter that is common. And so if you can neutralize that with a bunch of lefty starters and a bunch of innings thrown at you with the left hand, then it's kind of an interesting thing. That leaves Tyone as a righty. I wrote down who else we have. We got Hendo as the righty, Tyone. Then you fill it out with Wicks, Assad, Brown, Killian, Wisniewski, and it's not looking so cruddy anymore. I still think that you could use some more help up there. I would love to have a full-fledged ace. I don't know if there's still a trade up the sleeve for somebody like Shane Bieber. I don't know if he emerges as the ace or if there's still money to go after somebody like Blake Snell. If you really want to, like, Blake Snell's a lefty too, isn't he? I think he is. Why the hell not? You know, just load up on lefties and then we'll all complain next year that we suck against right-handed lineups.
Eric Campbell here asks if there's anywhere that we can watch highlights of this guy. I'm going to go ahead and just share in the chat a link to this YouTube video. It's going to show it's a little commemorative video that was put together about 6 months ago. He won his first Central League title this year for most strikeouts. And so this is a video that was put together to commemorate all of his many, many strikeouts this past year. So if you're in the chat, you can go ahead and see that.
I want to go back into the chat, too, and that Dubs1908 said, breaking news, Chris Morel has been removed from CubsCon lineup. That doesn't necessarily mean anything. I think only because the weather is going to be terrible. He's probably coming from the Dominican Republic. It's possible that he's just not going to get here. His flight got canceled.
I did read somewhere that like 9,000 flights have been canceled across the United States in the last couple of days, and about 100 of them going to Chicago. So
it's also possible that Jed Hoyer just decided to pull him from the lineup regardless, because he does that all the time for no reason.
David Ross came to CubsCon just to not let Morel play.
Just to keep him from showing up.
So, and I did want to mention in the chat, too, people have been pointing out that Marcus Stroman has been signed by the Yankees. People are calling it an overpay. It's actually less money AAV than he would have made at the Cubs this if he would have stayed. But who knows? We might not have the quote-unquote money for Imanaga if Stroh's here. We should have the money for Imanaga. But did you guys see the report about how...
Especially, we didn't even talk about the numbers on the contract.
Oh, yeah. Especially they're great. Because
this is a really interesting, odd sort of contract. It's 2 years... If I'm understanding this,
here, right, I'll put up. I've got a screenshot.
Million each, so that's 30. And after those 2 years, they can choose to pick up a fifth year, and it could be a total of $80 million over five. Like, yeah,
yeah, it's $53 million guaranteed is over four seasons. But if the Cubs don't pick up the option after 2 years, he can take off. So, like. So if he there's a couple of different scenarios in this situation that can play out, but it kind of gives both the team and the player some protections along the line, and it seems like a great deal. The AAV is super low for the next couple of years, so it seems like that's going to give roster flexibility.
It's just
going
over
forward
$15 million per year, or no, it's. If for 4 years, 53, if that's where the AAV is being calculated, then it's under 15.
It's right? Still like it's, but yeah. it's still freaking eight times what they paid Shohei Ohtani this year. So I don't want to hear it.
Right. But I'm just saying that is such a cheap amount of money really for any starting pitcher.
Right.
Any starting pitcher that you're excited about, at least.
And it spreads out the money that would be being sent over to Yokohama for their posting fee as well. So, like, it looks like, if I understand it correctly, they're only going to pay the posting fee on those first couple years right off the bat. And then as those options get picked up, they send some money over. So it's kind of like Klarna-ing the posting fee to Yokohama.
Nice. Randall Allen did the math and said 13.25.
Yeah, that's freaking dirt. And the other thing I wanted to point out is that he's only 5'10". It's slightly taller than Marcus Stroman, but kind of not what you would expect. And,
that's 4 inches taller than Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, Stroman is very short.
But not tall, not what you'd think of as tall for a major league pitcher these days. You know, you see these guys walking around, they're 6'6". We just traded for a guy that's super tall.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that trade really right now. But
Danny Almonte, and it's going to be so hard for me not to call him Danny Almonte for the rest of my life, but he's, what, 6'5"?
The new guy? Yeah, well, let's talk about the new guy, because the Cubs also made a trade, and starting pitcher Jackson Ferris, these are some teenagers that left us. We only got them the last couple years in the draft. So Jackson Ferris and Zaire Hope, who I think is only 18 or 19 years old right now, were traded to the Dodgers for Michael Busch, who's a second baseman, third baseman, first baseman, and Yency Almonte. And I see in the notes that you said that he played third when he was with the Dodgers, but he was mostly second and first in the minors.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting, because I immediately all I heard when this first broke was about him being a third baseman and everybody talking about what that meant for Christopher Morel and Madrigal, right? With this guy, whether he was going to, you know, kind of be that person. And then I started looking into it because of this TFC. I'm going to drop it here early. Oh, no, that's not the one. Oh, I didn't. Shit, I didn't have it because it's not fit. But I saw
David.
somebody said that, you know, immediately after this, he's a third baseman. And they're like, looks like we found our first baseman of the future, which got me really confused. But it also made me think of like when Candelario got picked up and they immediately put him at first. I'm like, wait, is this some Jed Hoyer shit? But yeah he's,
well, it's, he, you know, a corner infield spot guy, you know,
but he's played mainly, I mean, second base, he's played 258 games and that's over all leagues. First base, 250 games over all leagues and including, you know, the big leagues. But when he was with the Dodgers, most of those games, at third base, and he has 74 total over his big league career at third base. So he really could be a first baseman, which kind of makes sense.
Well, they don't have one, so that works out.
If they still aren't sure of Mervis,
well, and I like what David Leibs
after Bellinger.
You see what David Leibs says here in the chat is the Cubs acquired third base Mervis, because this guy's the same kind of thing. He's hitting, you know, 25 home runs in the minors, and he comes up and he struggles and hits 150. So
that being said, one of the two of them was a top 50 prospect.
Yeah, and it's Michael Bush. Right. Head for the mountains, head for the bush.
Yeah, and so talking about that Mervis, right? So in 81 plate appearances, Michael, for the Dodgers, Michael Bush hit 167, 247, 292 for a 539 OPS. It's not great, but he did hit two home runs. So, you know.
And this is in any, you know, actual baseball season, we'd be like, it's only 27 games. It's a small sample size. Right. I mean, 72 at bats.
Yeah, not even 100 plate appearances in the major leagues. And, I mean, he's a huge prospect. You got to have to believe in it. 919 OPS in the minor leagues, 79 career home runs down there. Huge stud. Well, so, and I think that they might give – I think that this might mean that they are out on Belly. I hope it doesn't. Because if you get him Belly for center field – now you're saying, oh, I guess Pete Crow Armstrong's not going to be a guy, or, you know, because what are you going to do? Now you got prospects all over the place. You got Michael Bush. You'd rather go with the young guy that costs less, give him a shot to work it out.
I would say it's more of they're out on Hoskins more so than Bellinger, because you can still use Bellinger in center. And because Bellinger is a good first baseman, you can maybe bring up possibly a Mervis, but looks like maybe you start with Bush, and you have you if you bring Bellinger back into the fold, you still have that sort of backstop for first base if you need him. But if not, then he gets to stay in center field and you get PCA another year down in the minors.
What I'm really excited about is now our 40-man roster contains a Bush, a Jameson, a Porter, a Bailey. We've got a whole dive bar going here.
Oh, and somebody posted somewhere about how the Dodgers could possibly have a Ferris Bueller 1-2 punch in their pitching staff.
No, I dig. Well, and Jackson Ferris and Zaire Hope, I mean, they were, I think Ferris was 11th round, or no, Hope was 11th round, and Ferris was second. I'm mixing them up. But they're pretty young, and they don't have a lot of experience, and they might end up being something. But these guys are much further along. And the relief pitcher, Yency Almonte, we got, he was excellent 2 years ago. Not very good last year. He's got an incredible bad teenage mustache. And he's about 30 years old.
Mustache.
But they must be high on this guy because he's out of options. And so we're stuck with them. Oh, we got to get rid of him. And but, you know, the strikeout numbers are there. 9.2 strikeouts per nine last year. But the ERA wasn't great. 4.5. Oh, no, that's his FIP. Where's the ERA? Oh, yeah, 5.06. But he was incredible the year before when he had a 1.02 in 2022. So, and if you look in 2021, he sucked too for Colorado. But the year before that, he was great. And if you look the year before that, he was bad. And the year before that, he was good. So every other year, he's good. Without fail. Guess which year this is? The good year.
Yep. And there is nothing, there's no better, like, stat than what Danny just laid out. This is perfect.
Every
Those are
other
the
year.
Stats that nobody's ever come up with before. This is
exactly.
My thing here is I'm, you know, kind of looking at this June 4th, 1994. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's the day I graduated from high school. I think it's when that guy was born.
Yeah, and he's also huge. He's 6'5".
6'5", 223.
Yeah. So Cubs did a lot of cool stuff. I mean, finally, we're coming to 2024, guns a-blazing. Anything else to add about these guys? Or anything else to add? I mean, we've got all season to talk about our shiny new pitcher from Japan, but...
Joey says, do we have a stout?
Eric Stout.
Former Cub Eric Stout, last I knew, was playing for the CTBC Brothers in Taiwan. So he played with them last season. I don't know if he's repeating that this year, but we did have a Stout. I remain upset to this day that we traded Zach Short right before we got Eric Stout because we had a perfect opportunity to have Short and Stout, and we blew it, and I will be mad about this forever.
Maybe yeah. Stout can go on the Compound podcast. Well,
we do, you know, so this has all been fun, right? These are guys the Cubs have brought in, all of this stuff. But we do have one more transaction before we get to this break that we have to mention. Let's pour one out for Brian Servin. Oh, oh yeah. We knew you so well. That
what was your favorite part?
That the Cubs brought in, the very first major league signing that the Cubs had of this offseason lasted 1 week, and he is now gone. He's DFA'd.
My favorite part of that era was when we signed Shota Imanaga.
It was kind of fun having seven backup catchers for a while. I mean, that was really what this show is made of. And
I mean, the Cubs,
we had them all.
The Cubs seriously had the opportunity to field a starting nine of nothing but catchers if they just brought up a couple of their minor league guys. And honestly,
I'd be here for it for like one day for the fun of it.
Yeah. Game three of the season, right? You put your starting nine out there and it's just all the catchers in the thing, even the pitcher. And then you could rotate all nine of them through that pitcher spot for the game and just see how it goes.
It'd be like that day they had Taylor Davis pitch and Kyle Schwarber catch. It was just fun.
Might as well. So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come right back. And I've got some exclusive footage of me performing with McGelvis at the Blackhawks game the other night, which I want to show everybody. But first, I got to ask you, you got to become a Patreon member at patreon.com/sunranto. It's how we keep the lights on here at the podcast. And we really appreciate all of our Patreon patrons. We would not do this show without you. So thank you, all of you that do that. Patreon.com/sunranto is how you do it. It helps us pay for all the cool stuff that we always do. So I'm going to play a commercial or two, and we'll be right back. Well, oh, but first, we're going to play a little game. You have the entire commercial break to figure out who this is. So, Michael, you got it?
This?
Who is this? This is a Cub, right?
This is a Cub. Yep. Yeah, I will always go with Cubs. I'm not going to throw a different player in there unless maybe I can only get a good picture of a former Cub.
Extreme Pokemon voice. Who's that Cubby?
Who's that Cubby?
So we'll be right back, and you can tell us in the chat after the break.
All over Chicagoland, there are thirsty, frazzled, overworked Cubs podcasters who are struggling to survive one more baseball season in the dog-eat-dog world of unpaid content creation. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can make a difference. Become a super ranter at patreon.com/sunranto, where your support ensures that poor, sad, pathetic, ugly, loser Cubs podcasters can pay for tickets and beer, and in turn, line the pockets of the baseball oligarch Ricketts family. Just $1 a month can buy a scorecard. $5 a month can pay for guitar strings to write a Cubs song. And $10 a month almost buys one beer at Wrigley Field. Cubs content creators are the lowest pieces of pond scum garbage that slither over the face of this planet. But super ranters help them get drunk and screw off at baseball games. What do you get out of it? The Sun Ranto Show, delivered to your podcatcher, without stupid advertisements like the one you're seeing and hearing right now. Plus, at other Super Ranter levels, you can get Cubs music, access to private Sun Ranto pages, the Ranter calendar, and special thanks and Ranter recognition in our live broadcasts, plus eligibility for monthly prizes. What does Sun Ranto get out of it? Your money. For tickets and beer. Go to patreon.com/sunranto. That's patreon.com/sunranto. And become a super ranter today. If you like the Cubs a bunch, buy your t-shirts from In the Clutch. We've got all the best styles for you. Dansby Seiya, Morel too. Clark Fly in his W. Cody Bellinger, smoking dudes. Vintage shirts from days of old. Patrick Wisdom and Nico. You'll look sharp wearing your stro. 10% off with the code. S-O-N-R-A-N-T-O. S-O-N-R-A-N-T-O. InTheClutch.com is your store for the most fun baseball shirts on the planet. Don't forget to use promo code SUNRANTO to knock a couple bucks off your purchase. Stack or die, we need more cups. Get it all at In the Clutch. Cause if you like the Cubs a bunch, buy t-shirts from In the Clutch. Get it all at In the Clutch. Get it all at In the Clutch.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Welcome back to the Sun Ranto Show, and we've got a lot of guesses in the chat as to who that might be there. We got a lot of Chris Bryant. Dominic says Chris Bryant, Rogue Wave Creative, proud sponsor of this show, says Chris Bryant. Tom Cooper says Morel. Little Yumper says it's Bryant.
Bernie Barron has Hap.
Yeah, Hap. I'm going to – IFG, do you know who it is?
It looks Chris to me.
I think so, too.
And it's
Chris Bryant!
So hashtag chance in the chat, if you will. You can win a Frank.
Back when he was good.
You can win a Frank Chance postcard sent to you by me with a hashtag chance. And also 10% off with code SUNRANTO at In the Clutch shirts. We got our brand new sponsor Matt Kammerer and Permanent Paintings, his Etsy store where you could see his art all over our, me and IFG's walls, all over, right over Cotton's head right now. You can get all his stuff at his Etsy shop, which is called Permanent Paintings. So
I wanted to point out that I saw today on Twitter, and I shared it over in the Discord. Matt has started a Iowa Hawkeyes. Caitlin, oh, why am I fucking her name up? Caitlin Clark, yeah. And it's over the state of Iowa. Now, this is a big deal. I'm pretty sure this is the first woman that's going to be on a map that he's done. And I am almost super positive. Like, I can't imagine he would do this for anybody else because he hates the Iowa Hawkeyes. Absolutely despises the Hawkeyes. He's given me all sorts of shit for living here and being a Hawkeye fan. So I was actually really surprised. But you know what? He did a Yachty as well. So he's not above doing teams he hates.
Everyone's money is green.
Exactly. So, but it's going to be really cool. He's just started it. It'll be done. I don't know. It'll be done soon. And I think there's a lot of people out there that's going to be digging on the Caitlin Clark one.
Well, speaking of spending money, I know one guy that's probably already dropped $200 on parking just to get into the Sheraton. And that is the king of Cubs Con. Let's bring him on. It's Crawley. Crawley.
Yeah, what's up?
So where are you? You look like you're on the streets of Chicago downtown out to get a hot dog or something. What are you doing? You're at Lizzie McNeil's?
Lizzie's.
Well, you know, the hangout is tomorrow, Crawley. You're 24 hours early.
Well,
I'll see you there tomorrow.
When you start the hangout. The hangout's when I start it, which is right after I get off this podcast.
Exactly. So now, first of all, it's supposed to snow terribly. And that is a CubsCon tradition. Almost every year it snows at CubsCon. And this is no exception. So what do you predict for this year's CubsCon? What is your overall prognosis with the guests being able to make it in? What's your prognosis of getting autographs? And how's it looking to you?
I mean, there's going to be a lot of new things this year, but the weather obviously is going to have a big impact. They're all hands on deck right now. Randy Huntley's canceled. Sean Dunstan's canceled. Ryan Sandberg's canceled. There's a lot of guys that this is really going to affect. There's going to be Snowmageddon coming in. But, you know, Danny, you've been doing this for a while. I've been doing this for a while. I think part of it is just, I don't give a shit, man. It's spending a weekend drinking beer, talking to Cubs players. Bobby D was over there a little bit earlier. I mean, we've just been having fun, you know?
Yeah, and it's really most of it, the kind of the brass tacks of the Cubs Con is the same as it's been. You got off the mound with Ryan Dempster. You got the baseball operations update where they tell you what's going on with the ballpark. They replace the roof, all crap like that.
There's no baseball ops this year. No.
Oh.
You know what?
Baseball ops is Jed Hoyer and Carter
Yeah,
Hawkins.
It says baseball operations update with Jed Hoyer and Carter Hawkins.
Right. What Danny was talking about was business ops. Talk about like what they fix and things.
Well, you know, we're getting the headliner, Jed Hoyer.
Jed Hoyer is
going to be there. His name's the biggest one on that poster. So
yeah, look at that. That cracked me up. Craig Counsell, I kind of get, but you're there to see the players. The first
I'm okay
five
with
guys.
Counsell, but yeah, Jed Hoyer, come on.
Now, we got Kerry Wood's name so small I can barely read it. This is like going to the eye doctor trying to find Sean Dunstan.
Or Tim Stoddard.
Dansby Swanson is making like the most money, has the longest contract. You would assume that they're going to try and make him, when they sign that contract, make him the face of the franchise. He's seventh on the list. He's the third row down.
He's behind Pat Hughes.
He's behind Pat Hughes and two guys that have already bailed on this thing.
So here's what I would tell you. They have a new app. I broke that story the other day. The app is pretty cool, and it's really helpful if anyone's coming down here. And so I would just say get the app. But like I said, people are already lined up for the meet and greets. It's probably lines about 50 deep right now.
Really?
When does the meet and greet start?
So the meet and greet is you pay $300 to Cubs charity. You get a couple things signed and you get a photo with the player. The meet and greet start at noon tomorrow.
Well, and they're already lined up.
Hold on. They let you in at noon tomorrow just sign up to get a person. And so yeah, that's
somebody
the
needs
easiest,
to tell them about
most
Club
guaranteed
400.
Way
Much
to
better
get autographed.
So that sounds like a terrible deal to me. I mean, I know that amongst collectors, that sounds like a good deal. But if you've got to sleep in a line with a bunch of freaking stinky Cubs fans all night and just lay there on the freaking Sheridan floor just in order to really offend the player that you meet because you smell so bad from sleeping on the floor, you know, I mean, this just does not seem like my idea of a good time. But who the hell am I to talk?
You also get to play bingo.
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I mean, Danny, Saturday. I know you. I mean, this isn't your jam. You know what I mean? This is not for everybody. I love it. I love coming out here. Do I wait in line overnight? No. Do I stay up all night drinking beer? Yeah. But no, I don't wait in line. But I have in the past found people that would like to split a thing. You know what I mean? So, like, let's say you get a player that's hard to get. Let's say John Lester's in town. I might go halfsies with somebody, 150, 150, and it ends up being a pretty good deal. And it's a guaranteed autograph signing.
Yeah, I think this is mostly for the autograph hounds, but the thing I like about it is you walk into the Sheridan and there's either John or Josh playing the organ right there, and it's the sounds of the ballpark, and you see all the Cubs blue and you see all the people in like hanging around downtown. Tomorrow night, we're going to see all the bloggers. We're going to see all our friends that we don't get to see coming in from out of town. And that's what I like about it. I don't even have a ticket. I don't think it's going to matter. I've always been curious to find out if you really need a ticket to go to CubsCon and drop the $100. And this is the year I'm finally going to find out if they boot me.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. Like I said, there's a lot of fun for everybody. I like going to the sessions sometimes. This year, what they're doing really, which is new, Ed Hardig, the team historian, is going to be doing a bunch of awesome sessions. And so he's going to be doing it on uniforms from the past. He's going to be doing it on the Cubs Hall of Fame. He's going to be doing it on the Shepherds. Otis Shepherd and, God, I can't remember his wife's name right now because I'm cold. But I can tell you that that's going to be awesome. So me and a couple of people are going to check out a couple of those small Ed Hardig sessions. Only 30 people in the room. So it's going to be really badass. Lou Sella, a friend of mine, he's the sculptor who did all the statues on Statue Row. He's going to describe the process of creating the statues and what he's been doing with Sandberg's statue, which is going to be unveiled this summer. So there's a lot to do, man. I mean, but you have to be a Cubs junkie. If you're not a Cubs junkie, then this probably isn't the place for you. I mean, that's about as easy as I can put it.
Well, until bingo.
Oh, bingo's the best.
Yeah, anybody can play bingo, even if you're not a Cubs junkie.
Oh, God, bingo is the best part.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see everybody.
You're waiting in line. There's a stampede to get tables. People get upset, but then it calms down. Wayne Mesmer comes out to bad to the bone, and the game starts, and you're ready to play, and that's what it's all about.
So to all the people watching this right now, I have $100 for anybody that can keep Crawley from getting his seat in the front row.
You asked me to come on the fucking show, dude. I'm just kidding. $100.
You're right. I'm cheap. $20. here's the thing that I want to do. I want to do a slow motion video of Crawley running to his seat, and I'm gonna put it to Chariots of Fire. Bum 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 bum. It's a thing of beauty.
It's there's an art, there's a skill to it. I've been stretching all week. I skipped leg day from the gym so that my legs were fresh.
You're limber.
I've been doing, like, you know, I've been stretching really good and doing yoga. I'm ready, dude. So I'm 47 years old, but I think I can still run pretty well.
Well, I know exactly where I can find you with your deep dish pizza that you ordered to the seat. It's coming. And the best part is when I come down there and I don't have to do anything, that you had to do, to, and I just stand by you and act like I belong. That's my favorite part.
This Crowley, is the guy that's going to give you $100.
Crowley, the chat wants to know, if they find you there with your cooler and your deep dish pizza and all that, are you going to sign autographs?
I'll sign autographs, absolutely. But, infield fly girl, the autograph you really want to get, there may be a special Japanese player here tomorrow. Somebody that's been here since Christmas time.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to hook me up. Get me a baseball.
I'll do my best. I'm going to try not to scare them away. I don't want to be like maybe like 8 or 11, you know, old styles in and falling all over Shota. You know, I don't want that to happen.
That would never happen to you, Crowley. There's absolutely no way anything like that would ever happen to a guy like Crowley.
But I will tell you, that's glorious. I will tell you, I want to thank Infield Fly Girl. We did have her friend Evan on, who has an awesome Twitter account. He did an emergency podcast for when Shota signed, and he kind of gave us a good breakdown of it on the last fly of the W. So is it Gaijin Baseball?
Yep, at Gaijin Baseball, G-A-I-J-I-N, Baseball. So and Evan is great. He's got great information, always a really reliable follow.
So I would definitely say, like, on the fly of the W that came out tonight, we got Evan on talking about Shota, and then we have Jen Martindale from the Cubs talking about CubsCon and kind of a lot of the different things that there's going to be to do out there, man. So, and like I said, you know, I know some people that don't do shit. They just sit around drinking beers, talking Cubs. Like, is that the worst thing to do on a weekend during a blizzard?
It's my favorite part. I'd
be doing that whether I were around the Cubs or not.
I would never do that.
Right, exactly. But imagine if you're drinking that beer and Bobby Dernier was next to you and you just said, hey, Bobby, why did Harry Carey call you guys the Daily Double? Well, then that makes it a little bit more fun. I'm here right now at Lizzie's with Bo, 1 million cards. And he was just breaking cards with Glendon Rush. He's one of the nicest guys you could meet. So
I'm putting up pictures of CubsCon.
Crazy Hat Lady, yeah.
Crazy Hat. I hope she's there. I hope Prepared Question Guy's going to be there. That's my favorite guy.
I haven't seen either of them in a long time.
Yeah. Well, COVID. Crazy Hat Lady's been dead for a long time.
So, it's Carrie Wood.
Yeah, these are pictures I've taken over the years. That was the bar that used to be at the Hilton. That was Kitty O'Shea's. Now we go to Lizzie's.
And there's Matt Camber signing the Rolly Cooler. And it's when we were first getting to know Matt, too, back in the day.
That's what I was just going to tell you. I didn't know who Matt Camber was. And then one day he says, hey, you know, I'm Matt, and this is my kid, and I do tattoos. We started shooting the shit, and I'm like, well, you want to, you know, waiting in line, you want to draw on my cooler? And he's been drawing on my cooler ever since. And so that's kind of like, that's what I'm talking about. I can't tell you how many friends I've just made here from great Cubs fans. Like I said, I guess I could be sitting at home shoveling, or I could be here drinking beers and partying. I don't know. I'd rather do that.
Yeah, well, definitely. There's Luis and Brett Taylor. That's at Lizzie McNeil's there.
Yeah.
And there's a much younger goateed Crowley from back in the day.
Unshaven, that was Theo's first year.
Captain Cubbo, Cubby Santa. Yeah, all the guys will be around. There you are waiting, I guess. Are you sleeping out to try to get Mark Grace's autograph?
That's 2007 at the Hilton. No, 2007, yeah, at the Hilton Ballroom. Yeah, and you get to ask questions, and, you know, you're here. There's bingo table. That's our bingo table. We have it every year. That's me asking questions in front of Ronnie Woo Woo, which is
you can see. I took this picture. I took this picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just really it's just a hell of a lot of fun. If you aren't going this year, we'll miss you, because if anybody's watching a Cubs show right now in the middle of January, we already know you're a Cubs fan.
Let me put it this way. You come in on Friday and you hear the Lowry organ playing tunes. You see a bunch of your friends and they offer you beers. You get all pumped up because you see a bunch of players that you knew when you were a kid. Then you leave and you see Danny Rocket singing karaoke in the middle of a bar. And then you sit there and you walk to Lizzie McNeil's and you interact with everybody in real life that you interact with online. What the hell's the problem with that, man? That's what I'm talking about. CubsCon. There's Matt Camera, baby. What is he saying?
He said Danny falling down right in front of Ricketts was a moment to remember forever. Remember when I fell right on my ass? Because I try to sit on the cooler, and the cooler has wheels. And everybody came out. Tom Ricketts starts, everybody cheers, and then they all start to sit back down. So they all sit back down, the crowd quiets down, and I go, woo, and fell flat at my ass.
Hey, ask Matt Kemmerer when he's going to get here.
When are you getting there, Matthew?
Yeah, it still's in the chat.
Yeah, man, tell me what's going on.
So I will definitely be there at Lizzie's tomorrow at the very least, hanging out with everybody. We'll be singing karaoke. They got Harry Karaoke in the lobby. They got Benedict playing karaoke. Oh, Matt's not coming in. Oh, that's sad. Well, I'm just going to have to draw on your cooler then. It's going to be me. It's Thick Figure Theater.
No, dude, I don't want the value to go down. I'm going to sell that one day. When Matt kicks the bucket, it's going to be worth something.
So
it'll be the Matt kick the bucket.
There you go. So look at this. You're right on the river walk. Right?
Crawley's gonna get buried in that cooler, I think.
Yes, Danny, I want you to take my ashes, my urn, and wheel it around CubsCon when I'm gone.
Oh, you know I will.
You don't need an urn. What are you talking about? Just put the ashes right in the cooler, duct tape that cooler closed, and you're
like
done.
Like burying a dog.
No, I want the cooler to be used in perpetuity for people to drink out of an opening ceremony.
There's no reason they can't keep using it.
Yeah, just put it, I don't know. Guys, I appreciate you having me on. I'm going to go get a beer and a burger.
Yeah, you look cold. You look cold. Well, thanks for hanging out and all the, he Irish goodbye to us. So... Well, he really is the king of CubsCon if you want to party. But, you know, the problem is that because he is the king of CubsCon, he told me right before he came on that everybody's hitting him up for all these favors. Just like, dude, save me a seat there. I'll meet you over there. Hey, could you get me that guy's autograph ticket? Hey, could you stand in line over here? And I'm like, well, see, this is what you do. You go out there, you say you're the big man on campus. Next thing you know, everybody's looking for a favor.
Yeah, no, I'm the information booth. I'm not anybody's secretary.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. But that's the way to do it.
But it's cool. In the off season for us to have other things to do with each other, it's really nice. But we did want to mention that we did something else together, me and Crawley, just this weekend. And that was we went to Dorothy Farrell's going away party, I'm going to call it, because she's no longer with us. She passed away a few months ago. And we really, if you don't know who Dorothy is, she's the famous Cubs fan who in 2016 kind of went viral for her love of Jägermeister and the fact that she just wanted to see one before she died. And she did see one. These were all, here's some more pictures here. There's Dorothy with her Jäger. And so we had a kind of a memorial party, and I'll show a picture of the room. We all went into this banquet room. And me and John Benedict, the organist from Wrigley, played a bunch of songs. There was her personal bartender, John, and a picture of her personal bartender, Jimmy, who kind of put it all together. Jimmy's a great guy. And they had these shirts made for her, which is Dorothy's face in the middle of a bottle of Jägermeister. You see Crawley modeling it there. And it's really a great shirt. I bought two. Thanks to Wrigleyville bum, Joe, who sent me $25. He's, and, you know, it cost $40 to get into this, but there was really nothing to buy there except for some shot glasses and these shirts. So I took the $25 Joe sent, and I got this Dorothy shirt, and now it, and I'll get to this after the break, it is now a prize in the Project Warning Track fashion design competition that we're having. So this will be amongst the prizes. This Dorothy t-shirt, they also gave us these really cool Matt Kemmerer Dorothy maps, which uses that same picture of
Matt,
when she's looking out. Yeah, she's a beautiful woman. And I got to meet her children and her grandchildren. And it turned out we had connections to each other. A guy who I played Little League with now coaches with one of her grandchildren. And we just heard fun stories about she was a strict mom, no nonsense. And they always had to, if they wanted her to be anywhere or were trying to plan an event, they always had to check the Cubs schedule because they knew that's where grandma would be. And so she just got a really nice send off. Stu did a great job. Club 400 was a big time a part of it. Jimmy really planned it. And something else we didn't mention is that we lost another great Cub fan and beer vendor. And we forgot to mention this last time, but Rocco from Undercover Boss, he died as well recently. And so RIP to, I know we have a couple of his friends that watch this show. So my condolences to them. And Rocco was a great guy, gone way too soon. And so are those beer prices gone way too soon. Because $6 for a 20-ounce beer would those were the days. You know, I don't even know what year this is. Probably not that long ago, sadly. A decade, maybe? Guess yeah. A decade's a long time. But
well, it was a different ownership, maybe.
So what I'm going to do right now, we're going to go to a quick commercial. And also, thanks for Crawley for coming on. Listen to the Fly the W podcast.
Walking around in that freezing cold out there. That was
it's not that cold. He's
that was impressive. I got cold watching him. That he wasn't blue prior to getting on the show.
So I'm going to play something that happened at Dorothy's funeral right now, which was us singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Oh.
All together, just a little bit of it.
Is this real?
R.I.P. Ronnie Wu? No.
Announced earlier tonight?
I don't know.
Let's give some second sources on that. We haven't...
Yeah, I don't know, but... Oh, God, I hope not. That'd be very sad. But here's... We sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game at Dorothy's going away party, and I'm going to play that, and then we're going to do a couple commercials, and then we'll bring it back up and talk about Project Warning Track. Also, I'm going to play you some exclusive behind-the-scenes footage from our time at the Blackhawks game, and that's it. We'll be right back.
It's root for the Cubbies. If they don't win, it's a shame, for it's one. Two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Do you ever find yourself longing for long walks and talks about catcher metrics? How about a coffee or a run differential? Maybe a candlelit dinner dissecting what exactly is the curious case of Miles Mastroboni? If you have, I have just the place for you, the Cubs PS Plus podcast. Come join us. Cubs PS Plus, a Northside numbers game, can be found wherever it is you get your podcasts, and on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, all at Cubs PS Plus, a spin on the baseball metric, OPS Plus. Are you ready? I'm ready. Here we go.
If you're like most Americans, you buy shit. Lots of shit. Sometimes you buy shit for other people. Sometimes you buy shit for yourself. And sometimes you buy shit you have to buy just to stay alive. So why not buy shit through the Sunranto affiliate? Links at sunranto.com/shopping. We've got tons of shit you can buy. Go to sunranto.com, click on the shopping link, then click our ads and buy shit. We've got Amazon. They've got tons of shit. But you can also buy MLB shit, NBA shit, NFL shit, Fans Edge shit, Southwest Airlines shit, Fanatic shit, Reebok shit, Wine of the Month shit, Beer of the Month shit, Bear Mattress shit, StubHub shit, Lid shit, Sports Memorabilia shit, Volcanica coffee shit, Vibrator shit, Condom shit, Bag shit, NHL shit, and Audible membership shit. There's a whole lot of shit that can help the Sun Ranto Show stay on the air so we can keep talking shit. So buy shit today through sunranto.com/shopping. Thanks. Cubs Jesus thinks you're the shit.
All right. We are back. And I don't know. I didn't see any confirmation that Ronnie Woo-Woo
has died. I didn't see anything either. But what I did see did make me laugh. It was the Chicago Tribune, written by Paul Sullivan. 1987, when Ronnie Woo Woo Wickers was discovered alive and delivering pizzas after he was reportedly, people said he was dead.
Do you remember when Crawley broke the news of the death of Pink Hat Guy? And he wasn't dead, and he had to backtrack the entire thing. Now, that was a funny day at the bleachers. He's Charlie sitting there, like, deleting his tweets, being like, oh, God. We're like, he's alive? And he freaked out. He's like, it's bad information. Jim Exeter. Exeter. Yeah. I think that's
so people
his name.
In the chat are looking. So, Johnny Wang, I'm not sure who you are.
He might be just trolling us. I mean, yeah. Someday it will be true, unless, I don't know, maybe he'll live forever.
Right. I hope it's not true, and I hope that Johnny comes up with better jokes, if that's what that was.
So I would like to share, we're going to talk a little fashion here in a second, but I want to share a really cool Cubs jacket that I saw on sale today. I'm going to drop a link to the chat. What do you guys think of this jacket? I think it's like a sharp little Letterman's jacket. Reversible, too.
So that's what's interesting to me. It's reversible. So for the podcast listeners, it's a blue jacket. And apparently, if you flip it inside out, you will have the white sleeves, like a Letterman jacket with like the different colored sleeves. So blue vest, white sleeves. Or you flip it over and then the whole thing is blue.
Yeah, it's from the MLB shop. What do you think, IFG?
Or do you just rip the sleeves off and flip the sleeves and then stick them back on?
No, I don't think so.
It will not be that one. I do like it. I like it better with the white sleeves.
Me too. But how long are those sleeves going to stay white if you wear it to the game?
Fair point.
Well, but Danny, I do like that's them. That's what's so great about it. When you wear the white sleeves out for a while, and then those white sleeves become dirty and nasty, you flip that thing inside out, and you get to wear the coat for another, like, 4 years.
Exactly. So I am going to now drop another link in the chat. That you can get this through our Amazon. If you go to sunranto.com/stuff and shop for all your Amazon stuff, they've got a bunch of cool custom Cubs stuff, including get your own name on this giant throw blanket. They've also got pillows to go with it, and it's like only $20. So it's a pretty good deal. This is my pick of the week for sunranto.com/stuff. Buy all your Amazon stuff through there. But I want to talk a little Project Warning Track, because we're getting somewhere now. With everything, we've even got a dress that's already been made. Jeff's wife, who, if Jeff's here right now, remind me her name, because I don't think I wrote it down. Mrs. Cubs magic number, he said, turned a Dansby Swanson 5XL jersey into a pretty swinging dress. IFG, what do you think of this thing?
I think it's great. I love it. It's a nice, fun, like, skater dress sort of style. Looks like an awesome thing to wear to the bleachers.
Yeah, like a summer dress that you could wear with, like, leggings or even not, mm-hmm. You know. And, so that's the first project to come in. And we've got great prizes. And I had an idea the other day that I want to take a bunch of my old T-shirts. I'm just throwing ideas out there in case this spark something for somebody. You know, I kind of want to get rid of shirts because I want to get more shirts. So I'm done with the other shirts. I don't like saving all this stuff. So I talked to my neighbor about possibly building myself a cape out of my old shirts, like a Cubs cape. So we're going to work on something like that. He said he could also maybe do me a quilt. And I'm like, well, I got a lot of shirts. And then I'm like, where can I get more shirts? And then I was like, Obvious Shirts, I bet, has a bunch of shirts that they don't want it to use anymore and could use as material. So I text Joe at Obvious Shirts. I'm like, hey, we're doing this fashion design competition. Do you have any extra shirts?
Frank the Tanks.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to make a whole Frank the Tank cape now. It's going to be incredible. So I'm thinking of taking a bunch of Obvious Shirts. But also, if there's enough stuff, which there's going to be, he's going to give me a bunch of old shirts. If you want some old, non-sellable, or misprinted Obvious Shirts to use as material, I will send this stuff to you. Just pay me for shipping, you know, $5-$10 or whatever it is. We'll work it out if you want this stuff. But contact me through any of my socials and we can work that out. But I don't have the shirts yet. But anyway, then I asked Joe to be a judge. And Joe from Obvious Shirts is now one of the judges of our fashion design competition for Project Warning Track.
Very cool.
IFG, what are you working on? I know you had some ideas and
My initial idea was to like take it into, you know, like a whole medieval sort of Renaissance festival type costume. But once I had the thing in hand, I was like, you know what? I really do want something that I can wear to the ballpark. So I'm working on kind of like a cropped hoodie kind of situation. I'm pretty jazzed about it. I'm in the getting things cut and pieced together part. I actually need to get my sewing machine put onto it, but I should have it done here in the next couple weeks, maybe.
Well, Emily is about to, I got Emily a new sewing machine for Christmas. So she's going to be working on that. We didn't get one of the 5X jerseys because Danny just lost a 5X jersey. Like somehow the thing is
no, but then I found it again. Then I found it again. But then I was going to send it to you.
I'm getting into this thing.
No, then but don't you remember what happened? It's one of the prizes now. I was going to send you the Mike Talkman jersey,
right.
But then I had a chance to meet him. So now there's a 5XL jersey, and I actually want to show people some of these prizes because it's going to be a smorgasbord of prizes. First of all, it's all fashion related.
So I love those hats.
You get all three of these Bleacher hats. All three of them, you win.
There is only one winner.
Yeah.
And the great part about getting all three of those is because if you get one, you know, it's like you got to match the one outfit to it. Now, three different outfits, three different hat colors. It's beautiful. By the way, Danny, you brought up misprinted shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
And you also brought up capes. And it got me thinking about something that I wanted to see again. This throw
make
says,
a good cape.
Established 1870.
Yeah, that's incorrect, right? Well, so, no wonder it's $20.
That's why it's $20 is because that's a completely different Cubs team.
Yeah. So I've got – here's the other part of – there's limited edition shirts. First of all, this is the only shirt of this kind that exists. I have one, and this is the other one. It's the Give the Ball to My Tie shirt. This is part of the – well, you better win the prize because this is the prize. I know the guy who made them, so maybe he'd make you one. But there are only two in existence. This is one of them. Give the ball to my tie shirt fashion. Now, this they give away – now they sell them. But for a while, this was the only way to get the shirt was through by, I think, going to opening day events. And so, Joe, it's the opening day is a holiday obvious shirt. This is also a limited edition. This is actually a really nice material shirt. The Salsa King of Chicago shirt, which I'm friends with Martin. He is the Salsa King of Chicago. Delicious salsa, by the way. You get it.
I was going to say, is that like salsa and chips? Is that like salsa like a dance competition winner?
I don't know if he can dance. He looks like a guy that after a few might have a dance in him or two. So, and then, of course, I'd already announced that this Dorothy shirt is going to be part of the prize pack as well. Now, granted, I know these shirts won't fit anybody, but it makes a nice gift, right? Or you might know somebody. And finally, a shirt that probably shouldn't exist, but a guy made it for me. I thought it was funny. But, you know, from Full Metal Jacket, there's that scene with the prostitutes. And so this just says, Nico Horner. Nico Horner. It's a play on the line from the movie. So, yeah, 80s are canceled. Yeah, we can't. No more Revenge of the Nerds. No more Full Metal Jacket. No more Platoon. No more Vietnam flashback movies. So, anyway, it's awesome prizes. I'm going to try to make a cape. I also thought of making pillows out of obvious shirts as well, because I think that would work pretty well. A quilt would work. I saw somebody, DJR in the chat, says, oh, yeah, I have a quilt of old shirts. I think it could work well. My friend Don is going to sew it for me. I know that Artie Boucher, he is getting his sewn for him. He found somebody to sew it for him. So, yeah.
Artie says he's creating a carrying vest. I'm not 100% sure. I don't think I've ever heard it called a carrying vest, but I've seen the pictures of it, and it's like vest with pockets, like a hunting. I thought it was like a hunting vest, but I don't know.
All right. Well, that's kind of hard to do with a jersey, but I'm looking forward to seeing what it looks like. And anyway, I'm excited for this competition, and I think we should announce the winner on the Ranter Roundtable right before the season begins. So it's cool. Like spring right before the season starts. So it gives people plenty of time to get in it and win one of these fabulous prizes. And then the last thing I kind of want to share tonight before we get into the kind of fun stuff at the end of our show is that I had a really cool opportunity to play rock and roll, Elvis songs, the king of rock and roll, with our good friend Miguelvis, who is Miguel Esparza, the Spanish language voice of the Cubs, who I've become friendly with over the... we're friends now. It's been years that we've known each other, and it's what a great freaking guy. Love him so much, and he included me in the Elvis band this year, and it was just such a thrilling experience that I'll just play a little bit of a couple of the songs. I set my phone up right in front of the stage, so... here's what that kind of looks like. Here's our opening song.
My favorite part is David definitely gets himself perfectly centered with this.
So I just wanted, that's Hunga Hunga Burning Love. And as you can hear, there's like a terrible echo. And as you can also hear, you can't hear my guitar at all. Like 0% can you hear my guitar. I practiced that, you know, all these songs. I learned everything, got up there. I could hear myself in my in-ear monitors, but there was a massive echo in this stadium. So it was actually really difficult to play music. I could hear Miguel, I could hear Benedict, I could hear my guitar, I couldn't hear the bass, and then you hear what was happening in the room, and it's all bass. Right. So, kind of, and here's what it looked like from outside. This is from my sister's wife's shop.
Danny Rocky on guitar.
And my name got said over a microphone. So we got on the Jumbotron. And this, there's John Benedict. We're going to do a little less conversation. See if you can hear my guitar. You can't at all, right? You can hear John's cubes. You can hear my voice now. Yeah, just nothing, just no guitar at all. But either way, it was a freaking thrill to be up there, and I just count myself as so lucky. Even though it wasn't like, it, like to me, with those in-ear monitors, it's impossible to hear anything. And so, as a musical experience, it wasn't particularly satisfying. But as a playing rock and roll in front of 30,000 people, kind of dream. It was a lot of fun. You know what I mean? So it was really cool. And thanks for everybody that supported us, including the Cubs announcer, Jeremiah Paparocki. So he came and hung out with us a little bit that night. And Miguel let my sister come in the band as well. And I wanted to say that down in the Blackhawks basement, or in the basement of the United Center, after the game, after everybody was clearing out and I had to go down and get my stuff, I saw one of the creep.
Wait, is this going to be a ghost story?
Kind of, because I saw something really, really creepy. Check this out. Blackhawks, baby, with no face, coming to kill you.
For the podcast listeners, Danny just put up this picture of some sort of very, very small dummy wearing pants hiked up way too high in a Blackhawks t-shirt tucked way too much.
Since when do toddlers wear high-waisted jeans?
That is so frightening. What is that?
I don't know. That's a sickening joke.
Do you think about taking it?
I did. I really did. No, I was down there. There was all these jerseys and stuff. I'm like, I could rip some shit off down here. I'm like, no, I'm a guest.
But here's the thing. You could have taken that dummy and nobody would have cared. They'd have been like, oh, my God, somebody stole that scary fucking dummy. We're all so happy it's gone.
So I guess.
And then you could stick it in your passenger seat and do the carpool lane.
Yeah, no cop would pull me over. It's like, that car's haunted. So I'm going to see a bunch of everybody at CubsCon, but so I think we should start to try to wrap this show up unless we want to talk more about Shota Imanaga. But why don't we do that on the – because all the Patreon people that subscribe to us, they get Discord privileges, and that means that it's our little private clubhouse hangout. And tonight after the show, we're going to go over there and talk about whatever you guys want to talk about. And just have a fun little conversation. But I do have a couple of announcements. One is that Jeremiah Paparocki was at the McGelvis show at the Blackhawks game. And we were talking a little bit. And he's got a new show coming up. And it's like a late night with David Letterman kind of thing. And I really want to go. It's on March 24th. And he's having on Sherman Dilla Thomas, who's a historian and specifically a Chicago historian who's got a great TikTok page and a great Twitter, makes great videos about the city of Chicago. He's awesome. And there's a rapper named Matt Muse will be on the show as well. And he's just going for it. Jeremiah's producing this himself. He's like taking his fame as a Cubs announcer and he's parlaying into something he also wants to do, which is be a late night host. So that's really cool. So I think we should all show up and support
it. So is it just going to be a YouTube situation or?
It's a live show at a theater that you can go to. So. It's a giant theater. You buy tickets and it ain't cheap. It's $100 to sit up front and it's like $40 to sit in the back. So you can guess where I'll be. But and I appreciate you, Patreon people, who help me go to things like this.
You can't talk Paparocki. You need to tell Paparocki you'll do the theme song. And then you can just walk.
Oh, I already offered. I already offered my services as a musician. He was like, sure.
For a second, he's got his own people. Magician, yeah. And I totally understood why he said no.
Watch me saw this lady in half. Oh my God, the blood! So, anyway, the Rancher calendar. People have been asking me, it's coming. But remember, it doesn't start till March, and I don't have time to do it right now, and I don't have time to take orders right now because that's really what the time-consuming thing is. So I will put it for sale at the end of this month. And if you are a Patreon patron at the $12 level, and if you join up right now, pay the whole year up front, which gives you a discount, by the way, you get it free. $12 John Baker members get the Rancher calendar as part of it, a $700 value for free. $30, really. It's $30 value. And also, keep saving that date, June 1st weekend. That's the Saturday of it. It is my 50th birthday on May 12th, and we're going to celebrate that all together. It's also Son Ranto's kind of 1,000th episode. We're around 1,000. It's our 1,000th episode. And I am IFG's coming in, first of all, which is going to be freaking awesome. We're going to catch a bunch of games. Michael's coming in. I'm trying to get Lyle to come in, the original host of the Son Ranto show. Eric Wheelow has already committed to do stand-up. We have Billy DeVore already committed to come in and do a set of stand-up. That might be on the Friday night. We got to figure out the whole schedule. And the other person I've committed is Joe Kilgallen. So we are going to have a huge comedy element of this Ranter Fest. There's going to be rock and roll. We're all going to go to the game. We're going to get group tickets. We're going to have a freaking blast. And I just can't wait to hang out with all of you. So save the date. Save that weekend. We're going to do lots of fun stuff. Maybe play a little 16-inch. We got to meet about it. We'll have a whole thing. But we should get to the Cubsler. We had some correct answers.
Yes. So first off, let's look at the Cubsler. We're going to look at it here. And a lot of people were somewhat confused as to how to get the answer, but not everybody, because we had four correct ones. It's not a trivia question. This is a puzzle that you have to figure out. And so we're going to walk through this real quick. So you
it's kind of like is. If you wait, don't tell me. Will Shorts the Puzzler, or is it what is it called? The
I think he does a puzzler, but he does a bunch of different things.
Yeah,
but
it's some NPR lame ass farty shit, old man fart shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is why it's perfect for us.
For us, the boomers, so, boomer Bill loves it. Oh no, he's already asleep.
So the clue is a talkative fella who might love catching crabs in February. So, a talkative fella would be Gabby, right? And so many people are probably knowing exactly who this is now, once I give you the first name. And then, who might love catching. Gabby was a catcher. And then, you know, and then I said catching crabs because you catch crabs in a net in February. February is the month with Valentine's Day, so that's hearts. And when you put it all together and you mix it around a little bit, you get Gabby Hartnett, Cubs Hall of Fame catcher.
Homer in the gloaming. So there were four correct answers that all wrote to sunranto@gmail.com. They were Jared Pat, Seth Kennedy, John Pickus, and Jeff Bjorn. And we're going to spin the wheel to see who is the winner. Do we say what they win?
Yes. You will win my voice on your answering machine.
Yeah. We're doing his Carl Castle impersonation.
Seth Kennedy.
Seth Kennedy.
Won.
You've now, won Michael's just, voice on your answering machine.
Just so everybody can kind of share in this, this is how it's going to work. I'm going to do a Cubs pod. It'll be like 30 seconds to a minute. And then, Seth, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to put your phone right up to the speaker and record it off of that. But that's how it works because we don't have money for sending you answering machine tapes or answering machines or phones or anything like that.
Yeah, they don't even make answering machines anymore. So, all right, what's this week's Cubsler?
All right, so let's go down here. This is Cubsler. This is week number two. So now everybody kind of understands how this works, and we will post this on Twitter. We'll post it on Blue Sky. We'll post it over at Facebook as well, so you can actually look at it and work through it yourself. It's not just this one moment. But here it is. Powder blue road uni with yellow Ledbetter patch in the rearview mirror playing catch in the outfield with a number one fan.
That's your clue. Powder blue road uni with yellow Ledbetter patch in the rearview mirror playing catch in the outfield with a number one fan. Don't say it in the chat, but definitely write to sunranto@gmail.com, and we will pick another winner. And I like what John Pickus said about the prize of your voice on the answering machine. John said, "Woo! I dodged that bullet."
Oh, you're gonna love it. You're gonna love these. These are gonna be coveted things to have on your cell phones. And if you put it on your cell phone as your outgoing message, please let us All know right. so that we can call you.
I got a prize. Okay. We'll do it like we're doing the chance. The Cubsler, if we're going to do it at the end of the year in the Christmas show, in the Cubsler, if you are the overall winner of the Cubsler, you win the Snoop Dogg cookbook. What do you think? It's pretty good.
Very good. Yes. I don't know how that again, works with the Cubsler.
John's
but
like,
sure.
Dog, cub, I don't know. Cachorro is puppy. I don't know. I could get there. So now let's pick a winner for our chance. Oh, no. First, we got TFCs, right? I forget what order we do things in. We have TFC first because that's why we always forget chance. IFG, you got anything?
Only one little thing, just in the interest of making sure everybody's updated on everything. And because I got a little comment about it, I had to let out a little gasp earlier in the show, and somebody called me out on it. There were three players posted from NPB this season. There was Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Shota Imanaga, and the third one was from the Nippon Fighters, Naoyuki Uesawa. And his posting deadline passed today without an announcement that he had made a deal. And then buzzer beater situation. He has been signed to a minor league contract with a spring training invite to the Tampa Bay Rays. So good job now. I'm really excited for him to get called up to the major leagues. I know he's really, really looking forward to the opportunity.
That's awesome. Cool. I do love the fact that there are so many Japanese players coming over right now. I think it's so cool. Then the World Series feels a little bit more worldly. And when you've got players from all over the world playing in it, and Japanese players were just coming in trickles for a while, but this has just been a really crazy posting season, more than we've ever seen. And it's just freaking cool. Korea too. Yep. From all over Asia, Taiwan as well. Did that guy come over? Who played in Taiwan?
We don't have anybody new, but Yu Chong is still looking for a spot. He's kind of a, he's an infielder. He's got a little bit of pop. The bat hasn't quite put it together yet. He could probably use some coaching, but if he doesn't get signed here, he'll likely be the first round pick in the CPBL draft.
I mean, you say he could use some coaching. And the one thing the Cubs have done this offseason is just hire all the coaches.
Yeah, we got all the coaches.
So very true.
So very many coaches.
I would be delighted to buy a Yu Chong Cubs jersey if we wanted somebody to stand on first base for a little while.
So I'm going to TFC out. I've got one thing here. This was pretty funny. This is from Pointless Exercise, Andy. And there's a picture of Shota Imanaga. This is tweeted out by MLB. It says, Shota Imanaga, officially a Cub. And Pointless Exercise says, terrific Photoshop job here. Nice use of every width of pinstripe ever invented. And if you look at this Photoshop job, it honestly looks like, junior high kids could do better than this. It's like totally different widths. I don't know. It's like took the arm off the cadaver and stuck it on him. It's a real Frankenstein job here.
Yeah, that is rough.
It's pretty bad. So that's all I got.
Well, I have one. And right after Shota got signed, this popped up under the announcement over there on Reddit. But can he play catcher in Tennessee is the question, because that's all anybody cares about.
To be fair, last year Shota probably carried a better batting average than most of our backup catchers.
We didn't even talk about that, how good of a batter he is. I had put his
because it doesn't matter anymore because our game sucks.
Yeah, but he's a Bay Star, which means he was playing in the Central League in NPB, which is the last professional league on earth that I know of that still makes the pitchers hit. And he's actually pretty good at it. In fact, his farewell to the Bay Stars basically was participating in the exhibition at their fan fest, and he hit a walk-off home run.
Wow.
Just to, like, nice. Say goodbye.
Well, I have his batting numbers right here. I'm uploading them right now again. And he's actually batted. He's got a 184 career batting average in 327 plate appearances. And he's even got a triple thrown in there. And he last year batted higher, 256 in 47 plate appearances. That's better than freaking Dansby Swanson. So he batted 270 one year, 2021.
Yeah, he can be a pinch hitter on his off days.
Yeah. A two-way player. Somebody asked in the chat, I think it was Joe Wrigleyville Bum, what's the name of Snoop Dogg's book? It says, From Crook to Cook, The Boss Dogg's Kitchen. Snoop Dogg.
Nice.
For shizzle. So, all right, now I guess we can give away a chance postcard and a chance to win a fabulous prize at the also at the Christmas. I love now Christmas is just going to be nothing but prize giveaways and carols, which is really how it should be, right? So we have hashtag chance in the chat.
You literally just described Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. Prizes and carols. So here we go. I'm going to pick it. And the wheel goes round. Who will be the winner for the special Cubs Con Fest chance? Oh, it's, oh my God, two
Seth
sets.
Kennedy,
it's Seth's
winner.
Night. The double whammy. The Seth man, Seth Meister, Seth the Rooney. Way to go, Seth. Congratulations. All right. I think that's it. We'll see you over in at the Cubs convention. We'll see some of you guys over in the chat or in the Discord chat, and we'll hang out in the post-show chat there. I have a song to play to end this show, which is kind of old, and it's I did a parody of Fiddler on the Roof's Tradition to convention. Convention, convention. Oh, yeah. But it really still applies, pretty much everything I say in this song. But the only thing that's missing from this song is I don't think I knew Crawley that well then. So he's not in this song. I need to do a new version, really, with him as Tevye. So as Fergie Jenkins would say.
This is Fergie Jenkins. You're listening to Sean Randall, the 69th Beth Cup Podcast.
Bugog.
Don't forget to buy Shota's pitching Bible.
And buy his, yeah, we got to buy that thing and learn Japanese. So, Spagog, y'all.
Spagog.
Here in our lakeside city of Chicago, Cubs fans descend upon the sweaty halls of the Sheraton to stand in long autograph lines in hopes of meeting their favorite players. And it all happens at the Cubs convention.
Convention, convention. Cubs convention, 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 Cubs convention. We are the guys who play baseball for a living. We are just here chilling. We were once players on Saturday night. Go drinking with Steve Trout and do a shot with Jay John Stone. Ex-players, ex-players, Cubs convention. Ex-players, ex-players, Cubs convention. We'll sell you the uniform of Ron Santo, an autograph plus in photo, 20% off jersey save on Castro, a bobblehead that's signed by Kerry Wood. The vendors, the vendors, Cubs convention. The vendors, the vendors, Cubs convention.
At three, I met Gary Matthews. I stood in line to wait. I loved when he was a Cubby back in the 80s. The fans, Cubs convention. The fans, Cubs convention.
We flew in from the beach to sign your balls and picks. They said they'd have the limo come pick me up by six. The roster, Cubs convention. The roster, Cubs convention. We flew in from the beach and to sign the balls and picks. They said they'd have the Leandro Pompey's on the prices. Convention, convention, Cubs convention. Convention, convention. Cubs convention!